Hello there. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm with you. Jason Gibbs out in Berea today, so Matt Fontana on our board. Media day in Berea. Only one OTA left. Today was OTA number 8 for the Cleveland Browns. It was open to the media. We will have Hugh Jackson for you live at the podium around 1:15. Could be a little earlier, could be a little bit later. Supposedly Ibrahim Campbell, Justin Gilbert will be at the podium as well. We'll let you know if we have anyone in studio coming up for you. But again, this is another one of those days. You get to go out there, you get to see them. The Browns doing a little bit of goal line, very slow, no contact, obviously, and running through their offense. We saw some trickeration out there with the formation where they spread the offensive linemen out and only have three linemen in the middle. But normally then they come back. Today they stayed out there. Quick snap, quick handoff to Crow. The defense didn't know what was going on. Next thing you knew, Crow is 60 yards down the field, hosed down.
That's what it's about. And it's not something that you're going to see on a weekly basis, as they're probably going to be a formation or a trick of the week for Hugh Jackson and this offense. But being on the defensive side of the ball, when a team does do that, you have to be ready for it. So, and it's not so much about you taking the time. It's not about them eating up your time. It's the concern about at what point in the game, if they're going to do it, and can your players have memorized or understood the checks and what you're supposed to get into and move the guys around and get aligned properly. Because the reason why Hugh Jackson does that is to try to steal a play. Steal a chunk play. That's all this is about. It's not about, you know, showing you one thing, doing another, which he may or may not do. It's about, I'm going to throw this in and I'm going to try to steal a first down. Now, and it can become a significantly larger gain. As you said, Crow can bust, break one tackle because of someone being misaligned and go for a 50-yard run, or you get a guy behind the defense and the ball can be thrown out there long enough to score a touchdown. But predominantly, steal a first down. That's what it means.
Absolutely. And the Browns were out there working on their offense. Of course, the defense making some nice plays. Like Justin Tuggle had a couple of nice plays from the inside linebacker position today. But the guys that continue to stand out to me on offense are Corey Coleman, number one, and number two, Terrell Pryor. I thought another solid day for Terrell Pryor. Looks very natural. Al Saunders was at his best today, chasing Corey Coleman down the first time he got the ball on the sideline. He ended up getting pushed out of bounds, and Saunders said, never go out of bounds. He said, in 120 years, that line has never missed a tackle. He said, get back inside. The next time, similar play, a little quick stop, made a good move, stayed in bounds, got to the end zone. Saunders was fired up about it.
There is, and it's so funny how coaches who've been, you know, doing this a very long time, they have their own little nuances or analogies, because defensively, Greg Minuski, who I've referenced many times before, he's now a linebacker coach in Washington, but it was a coordinator in San Francisco and a coordinator in Indianapolis. Their support on defense means, you know, I have to spill the ball to the safety, to the down safety, or I have to, like, hammer the ball back to the safety or another linebacker. And what he used to reference, when you would splatter the ball to nobody, to like, because there's no support there, he would call that guy Joe Air. And he goes, Joe Air ain't never made a play in his whole life. You know, so along those same lines, it's, you do it right, you know, you stay in bounds, because the sideline has never missed a tackle. You know, this is true. Joe Air,
never made
who is
one.
Nobody, who is green grass, he ain't never made a tackle in his career.
Although I would argue it is possible for green grass to make a tackle. Yes.
It is.
Rare.
It is very
Joe Air is rarely a tackle.
Joe Air is rare. And sometimes when you step out of bounds, you're not actually out of bounds, or the referees don't call it. So in some cases, he can miss a tackle.
Yes.
Whereas
that's right.
The eyes of the referee, of the Zebras, don't get down to see the chalk fly.
But it was good, and it was good to see him. You know, one of the plays, Duke Johnson ended up taking a ball long down the sideline in Hollywood. Or no, I'm sorry, it was Rennell Hall, and Hollywood Higgins was blocking for him downfield, and he liked what he was seeing there. I thought RG3, when he is decisive, is very good. Made some very good throws, some accurate throws. Made a good job on one, a read option, keeping it, picking up the first down, spun the ball when he got up. When you watch him, where you see where the improvement must come is there are times where he'll get to the top of his drop, his first read won't be open, and he almost stands there completely flat-footed. It's almost like he freezes for a second.
Correct.
And that's one of the things, and Hugh Jackson's hammering on him, that's where you've got to get better, where you can just keep your feet moving, bounce in the pocket like a Tom Brady does, and then get right to your next progression. Just go, boom, it's not there, boom, boom, boom. Now, he was able to do that, made a couple of nice checkdown throws as well, but that, you saw the very good, and then you saw where the work still needs to come with RG3.
Correct. And I think it's time, it's reps. And I think if you're a reader, You know, you read the book Outlier. It's, you know, 10,000 hours. You need 10,000 hours of whatever it is that you're going to do to be considered an expert at it. Now, well, RG3, he's probably taken 10,000 snaps in his lifetime. All of them have been one way, which is what he's comfortable with, which is what he deviates to. So in this case, Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton are trying to break a very severe habit of his. At this point in his career, when he essentially has reached the pinnacle, being drafted number two overall and becoming the face of a franchise as he did in Washington.
What I like about it as well is that he seems to be the hardest on himself. After those plays, he gets very frustrated with himself and really wants to improve. We did see today, I thought Cody Kessler made some nice throws. At the same time, Cody Kessler at times doesn't necessarily let it rip down the field. And there was one deep play you wanted to see him let it rip where you thought Corey Coleman was going to be able to split the double team. But when he does throw it, accurate thrower, made a great back shoulder throw in a goal line situation for a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think, to be very honest, when I watch practice and I see I mistake Cody Kessler for Connor Shaw because of their size, because of their stature, in the pocket, and then you realize who's who after the snap. And I think that's something that his accuracy and his understanding and ability to deliver the football on time will set him apart from a guy like Connor Shaw. One's drafted, one's not. Very similar in size. Kessler maybe slightly stronger arm, but I think his decision-making, we're not yet seeing it because he's a rookie. Connor Shaw has started a football game in the National Football League. He's going on what? This is his third season here in Cleveland. So he understands the pace and the tempo of in and out of the huddle, at the line of scrimmage, executing where the ball needs to go. And I think you can see that out of Connor. And Kessler, it's just a matter of time. He's still in that hole, just needs to get reps. Reps, 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 reps.
Yeah, and I think this wide receiver battle is going to shape up to be very, very interesting at the end of the day because Brenell Hall continues to make plays. Darius Jennings continues to make plays. Hawk had a couple nice plays as well today. These guys are all competing. The one guy that, you know, we've seen flashes from, but we haven't seen as much from so far as Ricardo Lewis.
Correct.
Just looks so good out there running around. I mean, just a great athlete. And he's a guy that I think we're going to need to see more of here in this offseason period to get him up there. Corey Coleman has acclimated very quickly.
Correct. And the whole being in shape or out of shape.
He's very much in shape.
It's not a conversation anymore.
No.
And it just goes to show when we had that conversation after that rookie minicamp, how quickly that has become a non-issue. It was the headline and a tease for everyone out there, you know, doing any type of analysis on the Cleveland Browns. Well, it's not an issue anymore. Our first round pick is going to be our number one wide receiver this year.
Yeah, no question. And when you watch him out there, you see why.
Just yes.
So fluid, so explosive vertically and dangerous when he gets the ball in those short areas. And I think he's a guy where some of the things that he does as well on some of those short passes aren't going to necessarily show up until the pads come on because it's easy to just run up and I don't know what you call that.
Tag him off.
Is that what it's called where you put your hands together and kind of bring him up?
Tag him up.
Yeah.
Tag him.
So you tag him up. There are no missed tackles and tag him up.
No, there are not. And we saw that at the end of practice.
Yeah.
You know, with Terrell Pryor and with, I don't remember who the receiver was, someone running just a little hitch in front of Justin Gilbert. When given enough cushion to the naked eye, whether you're me as a guy, as a vet from the NFL, or whether you're a writer who was standing there because it was open to the media, that was not a tackle. I tag him up from a foot and a half away. No, you're not sniffing my cleats
right
with pads on.
Yeah, Pryor ran. They were playing way off, looked like maybe some type of a quarters.
Yep.
He ran the skinny post in front of it, caught it, and was able, it seemed to split Gilbert in the safety and looked like he could have been gone. He looks, and I don't want to get too excited about it.
Okay.
But he looks really good out there.
He does.
He looks fast.
He looks vastly improved from what you thought might have been good enough to play in the NFL last year.
Yes.
He's significantly better.
Yes.
In every facet. Faster, physical, better route runner, great hands, no concentration drops. Because he's familiar with this offense, he doesn't have a problem lining up. He doesn't have a problem lining someone else up if they're on the same side together. I think all those things translate to, at least at this point, Terrell Pryor making this football team.
Yeah, and it seemed, you know, he was out there a lot of times in tandem with Coleman. And that all of a sudden is an intriguing duo with Terrell Pryor with
like,
the pads on.
Like Twins, the movie Twins.
It is like Twins.
You got Arnold and Danny.
And Danny DeVito, although much more athletic than Danny DeVito, Corey Coleman. But it just, that's one of the things that was very, very interesting to see was that duo be used together a lot. All the multiple formations. Crow continues to look explosive. They're going to find very creative ways to get Duke Johnson the ball as a runner and as a pass catcher out of the backfield. This offense, there's something to it where in practice, every day you see some things that where the defense has to really dig deep and communicate with one another just to get aligned in response to what
the
offense is doing.
Absolutely. And I think that's where, and I will maintain this until proven otherwise throughout the 2016 football season, the defensive scheme and the offensive scheme are winning schemes. And I think it took me hearing that from Ray Horton that this is a proven scheme. You know, we need the players to grow into this scheme. It will showcase the ability. It can showcase the ability of certain players in certain positions within this defense. Other guys just need to do their role, and we will flourish in this defense. And I think the same can be said for this offense because of how unique it is, because of the physicality from a running standpoint, that in 2016, the dog pound needs to understand what this scheme is accomplishing offensively and defensively. And look at the players that you know are going to be a part of the Cleveland Browns organization for the next 2 to 5 years and understand their growth in this scheme with Hugh Jackson, a head coach, Ray Horton, a defense coordinator. Then imagine when you add young, versatile, explosive players in the perfect positions along with that young talent. And that's why, as I continue to talk about it, it's like these schemes will win in 2016. I don't believe we have all the players, and I think that's, you know, safe to say that no one believes we have all the players to go compete for the playoffs, okay? But next 17, we're going to accumulate more young, explosive talent. Guys that score touchdowns, guys that affect the plays defensively, sackers, interceptors, so on and so forth. You're just putting more bullets in that gun to where the scheme is finally functioning with 11 guys who are fit for that scheme. There's no bending. There's no breaking. It's these are our guys. These are our 22. And we're going to see a lot of those 22.
Good.
Which I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for it, too. It's tough to keep track of who was going in and out last year. I absolutely want to watch this team get its guys and see what they can do to the best of their ability making plays. And you saw a team that was certainly very hungry out there. And I like, and you've talked about it earlier, but I don't know what, you know, your practices were like. Just the chatter between the offense and the defense during every play and after every play, it's friendly banter, but it's very
competitive. Yeah.
And I like it. And I think that, you know, I was thinking about it for a while. When you talk about all of, you know, I think Terrell Pryor said it last week. This is a different team. There are a lot of alpha dogs here all of a sudden. I think, you know, when you bring in a draft class that has so many award winners and so many guys that were dominant, like Scooby Wright doesn't walk in here. And I think he's a respectful rookie. I don't want this to sound like this guy thinks he owns the place. But that's a guy who was the most dominant defensive player in college football 2 years ago. So he comes in and feels very good about what he is capable of doing. A lot of these
just
guys.
Just give him that opportunity.
Right.
Is all he's asking for.
And so I think you have a team with a lot of guys that truly are kind of, and you see it on the field taking on, DeMario Davis is an alpha dog. He's taking on that leadership role very clearly on the defense. And you're seeing a lot of guys kind of step up and want to be the guy. And even if you look at this team now, the difference from this team now in some ways to some of the other teams is even the guys that are coming in here fighting for roster spots, Raheem Moore, Jamar Taylor, those are former second-round picks. Those are guys, Raheem Moore was an incredibly productive college player that they do at the end of the day, while their confidence may have been shattered, at their core still have a lot of self-belief and have a track record of why they have a lot of self-belief.
I agree, and I think everything that you're talking about, even with some of the young players who've only been here for a month, if that, underneath the umbrella of Hugh Jackson is an alpha. Yeah. Hugh Jackson has full belief in who he is and his offense.
And speaking of Hugh Jackson, he goes to the podium right now.
Oh, how you doing? Good morning. Afternoon, huh? Hi, how you doing, sir? Oh, man. How's everybody doing? Good, I'm good. It was a good toasty one today. A little hot. I thought our guys fought through, thought they did a good job. A lot of enthusiasm, guys practicing extremely hard. I'm really happy with where we've gotten to after eight practices. You know, I think our guys have done a really good job, and I'm going to conclude our OTAs because tomorrow, I think it's important as an organization, we have the Cleveland Browns Foundation. And as you guys know, the focus of us is, in, you know, throughout the city is obviously in Northeast Ohio in areas of education. We want to help and assist. So tomorrow there's a golf tournament that we're going to take the whole team to, because I truly believe that it's something that you honestly do. And I never, you know, the team had an idea, but not a true idea about that I would do that. But I think it's very deserving, and I think it's a great time after. I think our guys have done a really good job. And obviously, we still got a mini camp to finish this off season off, and I think our guys understand that. But I've been extremely pleased and happy with the progress that we're making each and every day. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think the guys are starting to truly understand what it takes to have an opportunity to win this league, just how hard it is each and every day when you go on the football field or when you're in the weight room or you're in a classroom. Just the focus that you have to go out and compete at such a high level. There's 31 other teams that we compete against, and you know, some of the best players in the world and some of the best coaches in the world. So I think we're starting to get it, but I know we're still a long ways away, but I'm proud of the group and what they've been able to do thus far in OTAs. Any questions?
Hey Coach, I didn't see Gary Barnage out there. Is something wrong with him?
No, he has an excused absence today.
Can you talk about the decision to, you know, as a new coach, to kind of leave two practices out
well,
of the field?
No, well, that's one way to look at it. You know, I don't think that we are. I think that we've accomplished what myself and the staff has set out to do, so it's not really leaving two out. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to go do something I think is very important to our players' development as young men, and something is a way of us giving back to some kids who are very deserving. As far as the other one's concerned, you know, I feel very good about we're going to get that work in minicamp next week. And again, I wish everybody was with these guys each and every day as we were. So it's not like I'm rewarding them. I'm really looking at our schedule and putting things back to back in the way they are. I think this is the best for our football team.
Who among the who stood out for you throughout these OTAs, maybe more than some other guys?
You know, I don't have a particular player. What stood out for me as the head coach is just our team, the way we compete. You know, just each and every day, you know, and how they respond and how they want to work and be the best they can be. And I think that if I can take away anything from this part of it, it's that my whole goal was to get these guys to learn our language, you know, master our language offensively, defensively, and special teams, and then understand how you practice, you know, how you practice situational football, how you have to go out every day and compete to get better, that there are no bad days. You can't have bad days. And I'll be first to tell you, we didn't practice as well as I know we could on Tuesday, but these guys came back yesterday and today and practiced like you're supposed to practice. And it wasn't that it was a bad one. It just wasn't as good as I know these guys have set a standard. And then I want to keep them at that standard or above, and I'm not going to let them slide. So I think they get that, and they responded like I never imagined they could today. They got after it.
Your hands-on approach on the practice field, you know, we see you working with the different position groups in that deep. Just from your experience, is that just something that you know that your players, especially young guys, respond to and you kind of get the feeling, hey, the head guys in this with us just as much as we are?
You know, that's a good question. I never looked at it like that. I love coaching, you know, and I like being hands-on with our players, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. I just think I think the players respect that the head coach is involved, you know, that I'm not standing over there just watching, you know, that I can give advice and kind of know what I'm talking about, where I'm coming from, because I've been there as an assistant coach. And it has been. The coaches have done a great job of allowing me to coach, you know, within our offense, within our defense, and within our special teams. So I hope that is the response from our young players, but is something I truly enjoy doing each and every day, and hopefully I can continue to do so.
Hugh, could you clarify, did you tell them before the practices that this was their last practice or afterwards?
They know it's not their last practice because we have a mini camp. Yeah, they had an idea that we were going to go because I got to put them in polo shirts, you know, to go out as a team tomorrow. So they get it. You know, they kind of had an idea that we're going to do this. But this is an organizational thing that I think is very, very important to us, you know. And trust me, if I didn't think so, we wouldn't do it. Because like you said, we could very easily be out there practicing. But to be able to give back to some young kids and see smiles on their face and do something, I think, worthwhile within this community for the people that truly support us, I don't think there's not even a question in my mind not to do that.
You expressed last week that second-round pick Emmanuel looked out here even more athletic than he had appeared on tape and coached you guys to spend a high pick on him. Now, in addition to looking athletic, how has he developed in the practices you've had these couple of weeks?
He's coming. You know, it was fun today watching him come off the edge a couple of times. It felt like a real game there, you know, because he's very explosive. He's a big man. He's truly starting to understand the NFL game and what it takes to play up here each and every day. And I think our veteran players, I should say, have done a good job of taking him under their wing and showing him and the ropes on how you have to prepare each and every day to play in a National Football League. And obviously his position coaches, you know, Coach Slowick and obviously Coach Holland and Coach Horton, I think they've done a good job of getting them better. And that's something that our staff we're going to take a lot of pride in, is developing our young players. You know, we drafted a lot of these guys for a reason, and we want to give them an opportunity to see if they can play. And this is where it starts, but we'll truly find out about it in training camp.
Your last season was big. There were a lot of injuries, muscle tears, whatever, muscle pools, soft tissue injuries. My question is, what have you thought of out of your new group of people to this point? And, you know, what has he brought to that you guys maybe haven't seen in the past, or some of the things that he's been doing a little different?
Right, again, I wasn't here in the past, but Adam has done a tremendous job along with his staff. You know, they've done a real good job of tailoring what they do to our players and positionally. And he's one of the best I've been around. I know a lot of people get after me about saying the best all the time, but he is one of the best at what he does. And I think, you know, the proof is there. I mean, we're not having the soft tissue issues that we've had before. And we have players on the field that are practicing, you know, every day, and we're not getting a bunch of the pulls. You know, we get the normal tweaks that every football team gets, but at the same time, as hard as I think we push them and as much as we ask of them, I think Adam and his staff has done a tremendous job of getting our team in the best shape that they can be. And I think our guys understand they have a ways to go, but Adam is just the man to lead them into that process.
Since we talked to you last, Dirk Cutter came up and said that you're going to be out there 2 days practicing with them. Could you explain just the reasoning you
like? Right. I think it's a tremendous opportunity to practice against another organization. We were going to play them, obviously, in that third preseason game anyway, and I know Dirk. And so we decided to get together and practice for a couple days. And I think it's another opportunity to evaluate our team, you know, in a different setting away from here. And again, teach our guys how to go on the road and prepare and be focused, but also, you know, understand that we're still in an evaluation mode as we start to put our team totally together. And it's always great to compete against somebody else, you know, other than a guy you compete against each and every day. So it gives us another opportunity to see a different team, a different color jersey, a different defensive scheme, a different offensive scheme, and to prepare and also teach these men how to go on the road and focus and get ready to do what we need to do, because we're going to be on the road early, you know, in this season. So it's an opportunity for me. I see it as another teaching moment for our football team.
The fact that it's in Tampa Bay in August, I mean, the conditioning part of your
absolutely
week?
It's the heat, you know, and we're going to go to Miami early in the year. You know, there's a lot of benefits, I think, to doing this that will help our football team grow, you know, as we get ready to head into the season.
When was Darren Gabriel's injury? I think he's been on the flight last.
Yeah, he has a sprain, you know, but again, we wanted to make sure that we take care of it and give him time to get out of it. You know, obviously he's been on the bike. You know, I think he's very close to being able to have an opportunity to be back out there, but he's going to be fine. No, it's not his knee. It's lower leg injury.
Danny
Shelton was just watching. It seemed like you were just watching today.
Yeah, he has a little tweak. Again, I think you guys know I'm going to be very cautious of those guys. That way, they're out there, though. You know, these guys are here each and every day working and practicing. And I think if a guy has something that I don't, you know, a report comes to me that I don't like it as much, then I'm going to be on the high side of taking care of them so that we make sure that they're back and ready to go at full speed.
What have you seen out of Justin Gilbert? And is it beneficial that he's getting a lot of work with the ones with Joe being down?
Well, I think he's very talented. You know, I can't talk about what's gone on here in the past with him. I know it's well documented, but that's not the young man that I've met since I've been here and talked to and, you know, have exchanges with. He's been sensational. He's done everything we've asked him to do, the way we've asked him to do it. There's no question. I told him when I first talked to him that your slate's clean. Whatever's gone on in the past doesn't matter to me. And that's the way I am with all of our players. None of that matters. It's the picture you paint now. And he's doing a tremendous job, and he's very talented, as we all know. But he's done everything right thus far, and I'm very proud of him, and I'm proud of the things that he's doing.
At the fan fest, we asked you about the quarterback situation, mm-hmm. and what kind of time frame you might have. You mentioned, you know, hey, it would be great if I could name someone coming out of OTAs, but however long it takes is mm-hmm. how long it'll take. So now that this is the end of OTAs,
right.
Are you any closer to naming anybody as your starter?
I don't think so. You know, I'm seeing the improvement out of the whole group that I'm looking for. But we still have a little bit more that I need to see to feel very comfortable and confident in saying this is our guy. I think they're all competing extremely hard and extremely well. And again, I think when the time is right, trust me, you guys will be the first to know, you know, what that is that we're going to do. But I feel very comfortable that we have enough candidates, you know, at the position that people are starting to emerge. But again, I want to feel very good, me myself, along with our staff, about naming that guy, because it's more than just playing the position. I hope we all understand that it's more to it than that. You know, there's a lot of different hats that man wears, and I have to make sure for our football team, for our city, for our opportunity to win, that we make the right choice and not just the fast choice.
Ernest Biner, what kind of help has he been to you and your running back?
He's been great. Obviously, Ernest played here when things were really good, you know, when the Browns were really special. And Ernest has a very passionate place, you know, about the city, about the football team, about playing the position. And I've known Ernest for a while. He's a tremendous coach when he's coached in this league. He knows how to communicate with young men, and they can see the picture that he's painting. And he's been very good for me, because he'll see things sometime and maybe I don't see. And it's not like me to be at home and all of a sudden here comes three or four texts from Ernest, you know, about something. But he's been outstanding. And the thing that I really respect about him is he's really a true Cleveland Brown. You know, he gets it. And he knows exactly what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish.
Could that work into anything more?
I'm sorry?
Could that work into anything a little longer
term? Well, you know, we'll see. You know, again, a lot of these things, you just kind of take them one day at a time, you know, and I've really, truly enjoyed having him around. But again, I think, you know, as an organization, we'll see what we can and what we can't do. And Sashi and Paul and Jimmy and the rest of the organization, they'll have obviously a lot of input in that.
Is this an appropriate time to take a big picture look at RG3, where he is compared to where he started?
I think it's appropriate. I think he's made tremendous strides. I mean, I really do. He's getting better and growing each and every day. You know, I'm very proud of the work he's put in. You know, I said it from day one that all of these guys got to just put their head down and work, and he's done that. And it hasn't been perfect all the time, but it's been really good. And I see glimpses of it being extremely good. And that's what we're chasing, and that's at every position. It's not, I know we're talking about Robert, but it's at every position. You know, my goal is for these guys all to be the best that they can be at what they do. And whether it's the quarterback, running back, line, defense, secondary, whoever. And it's our job as coaches to create the environment for them to do that. And that's all I'm trying to do for Robert. That's all Pep is doing for that whole entire group, is doing everything we can to help these guys be the best they can be, which ultimately helps our football team be the best they can be. Thank you very much.
Browns head coach Hugh Jackson there. We certainly will be back to kind of break down our thoughts on that. Plus, we'll have more players coming to you from the podium throughout today's show on Cleveland Browns Daily. The big announcement there that the Browns are done with OTAs, 8 OTA sessions in the books. They will return for the mandatory minicamp next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday before releasing the players until training camp. So Gurren Wilhelm on CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Give us a call, 216-578-0850. Let us know what you think of what you heard right there from head coach Hugh Jackson. Matt, I'll start with you, your reaction to some to Hugh Jackson there and what you think of, you know, the plan to go with only eight OTAs before the mandatory minicamp, and then also the announcement that they will be doing joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think it's all good news. And I think, as I've said time and time again, Hugh Jackson has a time frame that he wants to be on in regards to the percentage of his offense that has been installed, and also a certain point in his mind of what he wants it to look like being executed by these Cleveland Browns, especially since he came from a place that had all the parts of a great offense.
All right, we're going to go to the podium now and hear from one of the young guys they expect to have a big role in this defense, safety Ibrahim Campbell.
Reaction when they signed and re-signed and then they cut Dante. Did you guys feel that was an opportunity for you guys to step in and start a lineup?
I mean, obviously that's a big loss losing to Sean. You know, he's a great player, and you know, we wish him nothing but the best with him being in Jacksonville. But this league's all about opportunities, and I was definitely excited for the opportunity to be able to step up for this organization, and I know guys around me are excited for that same opportunity.
Yeah, it was kind of a unique situation. They're obviously great guys to learn from. They were great leaders, great examples out on the field, but at the same time, when you come into this league, you look to compete every day. So it really didn't change my approach at all, because I was looking to compete for a starting position, regardless of whether they were here or not, and that was what you expect from anyone on your team. So it didn't change too much, but it was kind of a loss just losing those leaders on the field.
How do you guys feel about getting the OTAs, the rest of them off?
You say it
again? This was your last OTA practice, even though you got that golf tournament.
How we feel about it being done with?
Yeah.
I love the game. So anytime I'm able to go out on the field and compete, you know, it's always exciting. You know, with this last OTA coming down to the end, and then we have a mandatory minicamp next week. You know, I'm excited for another opportunity to step out on the football field before the season really starts in 7-8 weeks. And so, you know, it's kind of that one last. You know, we talked about it today. 1 degree, getting better next week with the 3 practices that we have, and I believe that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, and as Jordan was saying, you cherish every opportunity that you have to step on this field and play this game. So, you know what I mean? It was a decision that coach made for the betterment of the team. Guys maybe needed some time off or whatever it may be. But we're going to take advantage of the time that we do have on the field. We got 3 more practices, so we're going to attack those with everything we have.
You guys want to put your own sort of stamp or identity on the safety position specifically?
Absolutely. We realize that this is a new team, so we kind of have to take ownership of it as a safety group and as a DB group. So we're looking forward to kind of establishing an identity, not only for the secondary but for the defense as a whole. Primarily just a dominant defense. Whatever form that ends up taking, we plan on being very physical, making plays all over the field, just dominating in every aspect of football and of the defense.
You didn't play a ton last year. Did you feel if you needed to have played, you would have been ready? And, like, how big is the jump you feel personally from last year to now when you step on the field?
One thing that I learned early on in this league is that you have to be ready for any opportunity that you get and take full advantage of it. So I always made sure that I was prepared to step in to a starting role whenever I had to. Didn't happen very, very often last year, but I felt prepared every time that I had to. And also coming into this year, the same goes, just making sure that I'm always prepared as a as a starter or as a backup, you always want to make sure that you're ready to go for any opportunity that you have.
Jordan, getting back to how familiar are you with this defense, having been part of it a couple years ago, and is it kind of as similar as you remember it as far as you think back at 2013?
A little bit. I came in around week six, my rookie year, to Cleveland when Ray Horton was the defense coordinator here, and I think, being here for that time kind of did give me a little bit of a jump start on just the verbiage and just the little things with the defense. And so, I'm still learning more about this defense every single day. It's a fun defense to play in. And obviously you saw Gibson go to the Pro Bowl in this defense. And so some that, I'm excited about, and some that I think all of our safeties, are going to be able to compete and play in. And so, definitely excited about this defense that Coach Horn's bringing to us, and we're gonna go from there.
Obviously, you guys have been running with the ones, but they brought in Raheem Moore and drafted Derek Kindred too. So, how do you feel about the competition, and do you feel like you guys are really being pushed or pushing each other?
This league's always competition. Every day, as soon as you wake up in the morning, so as soon as you go to bed. What you're doing on the field, off the field, in the weight room, it's always competition, and the guys around us can play. We believe that we can play too, and so it's always going to be competition, and that's why you play the game. It's fun. It's a fun game to play, and it's always competition on the field.
Yeah, and it's a great atmosphere, not only in the DB room, but the entire team. That's something that Coach Jackson has stressed, just the importance of competing and making your, not only yourself better, but also your teammates better every day, every opportunity to step on that field and improve yourself.
You've been around Justin Gilbert for a couple of years now. Do you see a change in him on and off the field for the first couple of years to what you've seen so far this year?
Oh, 100%. Justin Gilbert, the world knew when he came into Cleveland he was, a hell of an athlete, and he still is. And to see him grow the way he's grown, I believe he came in a year after me. To see him grow the way he's grown on and off the field is something, this team needs. And I truly believe this team is going to need him to help us win games. And, he's becoming one of the guys, and he's being more and more vocal every day on the field. And it's exciting.
Jordan, do you feel like one of the leaders in the group right now?
Say it again.
Do you feel like one of the leaders in the defensive backfield though?
Being a safety, I feel like that's almost the attitude you have to have. You're always talking, always making calls, and especially in this defense. And with being here, this being my fourth year here, I'm still learning from a lot of older guys, and I have learned from a lot of guys in the past, Whitner, Gibson, even Jimmy Leonard when he was here. And so I believe that my role is going to be, I'm going to have to be a little bit more vocal, but at the same time, when it's time to lead, it's time to lead. When it's time to follow, it's time to follow.
You just said you've seen Justin Gilbert grow on and off the field. Do you think this year that it's going to show up for him, and he's going to turn the corner and kind of become the player that everybody's kind of waiting to see on the field consistently?
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that Justin Gilbert's going to do that.
All set, guys? All right, thanks.
Well, it was both Jordan Poyer and Ibrahim Campbell, the young safeties of the Cleveland Browns, who have the opportunity to compete for a starting position this year following the departures of Dante Whitner and Tashawn Gibson. Of course, Campbell will be competing with Derek Kindred, most likely. The
yes.
Browns draft picked out of TCU with the strong safety spot. And, of course, Poyer will get his biggest challenge from Raheem Moore, the former starter in Denver, former second-round pick out of UCLA. 216-578-0850. We'll still have more to come from the podium. We're told Justin Gilbert will be speaking today. We will bring that to you as well. 216-578-0850 on CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Rolling by here. Tomorrow, the Browns Foundation Golf Tournament. We will be broadcasting live from there. Should have an opportunity to speak with many Browns players and hopefully some Browns coaches as well tomorrow. But Matt, let's go back to Hugh Jackson here. He is a guy that seems very much in command, is setting the tone for this team, demanding excellence. Didn't feel like Tuesday's practice was up to his standard. Was very pleased with today's practice. Says, all right, we're done with OTAs. You're going to go support the kids and the Cleveland Browns Foundation at the golf tournament tomorrow. Three more days of mandatory minicamp, and then it's time to get going once we come back for training camp. When you set a standard like that and you're a new coach, you had an opportunity for two more OTAs, doesn't take them. And it seems to me he's happy with where they are,
yeah.
And he wants to put all the focus on those final 3 days.
Exactly. And I think that Hugh will push these guys in those final 3 days to guarantee that he gets done what he wants to get done, whatever his agenda, or as I talked about, how much the percentage of the product that he wants in the playbook. And I think the same can be said defensively for Ray Horton. Things aren't always going to go the way you want them to go. And Hugh understands that. And I think most likely this morning, prior to today's practice, which he said was better than yesterday's, it was a challenge. It was a flat-out calling them out on yesterday's performance. I gave you Monday off. You came in. And we talked about that late last week, is like whether they would practice Monday or not. How would they react? I'm sure a lot of guys, majority of them stayed here. But they came back after a long break. I'm sure everyone ate a lot of food. Everyone took part in the holiday, right? And they got that out of their system and got right back to work. So, and I think that was a challenge by Hugh Jackson, and he's learning as the day. Hugh Jackson's actually going to do what Hugh Jackson wants to do. He's going to do what's best for his football team, and he's got to learn about his football team.
Sure.
And that's what I really feel these OTAs have been. And now I would not be surprised for this final minicamp if he does go pedal to the metal, if he takes an extra period, at least day one, day two, which is what, next Tuesday, next Wednesday, and they may earn, by their efforts on Tuesday, Wednesday, like a shorter practice on Thursday to allow them to start their offseason. So, and that's what all good coaches do. That's what all coaches do who understand the minds and emotions of the gentlemen that make up their team. If you're in tune with them, you challenge them, they step up and meet your challenge, they earn something in reward. And I've said this before, the analogy, it's just like parenting your child.
Sure.
You know, it's just a hell of a lot more is on the line in this case.
It is, and it's a work in progress for this team, but I think you've seen progress over the 8 practices in OTA, significant progress, and what Hugh Jackson talked about was them mastering the language, mastering the ability to understand the plays, the play calls, what they're supposed to do, their responsibilities, and you're seeing a team much more confident in that regard. And that's what he said. That was his goal for the OTAs, to get them there. They're there. He holds them to a high standard, and now I think you're right. They're going to ramp it up in this mini camp, and we're going to see the pedal to the metal for 3 days.
Tuesday, Wednesday are going to be long hours and a little bit more physical and a lot of content.
Yes.
With the right to earn a shorter, more, you know, vacation-like third practice.
And I think when he talked about, you know, RG3, he talked about the fact that Robert Griffin III is a guy who has shown flashes, but still at the same time needs to improve with his consistency. And I think that's very true. And I think that's something that you and I have seen. He's made great strides. He's getting better. You see the glimpses of being good. But as we said, there are still the plays where you see him look a little bit flat-footed. And what I like is that, number one, RG3 holds himself incredibly accountable on those plays. And number two, the coaches do. And no coach is afraid of any player on this team.
No.
To say, they're not afraid to say, do that again. Unacceptable. Do it again. Unacceptable. That's not how we're doing it. And then when they do it right, you hear this a lot of times when you're far. Good. That's right, gentlemen. Good. Hugh Jackson, good, which I love when he says that, because then that's how we do it, men. That's how we do it. And I love, as a player, does that matter to you? He always calls them men. That's right, men. Good job, men. He always says that. That's something that I picked up just watching.
And I think I learned it at Ohio State. In your response to any coach is yes sir, no sir. You know, it's they're the authority. They have a say on whether you have a job or not. Do you not want to be? Do you want to be treated like a man? You know, you walk around again. This is the going into the whole machismo, egotistical. You know what don't stink world that a lot of these players have come from or lived in before, and it's. You want respect. You want to be treated like a man. Practice like a man. Carry yourself like a man, both in this building and out on the streets, because you are a representation of something bigger than just the name on your back. You know, and you heard that yesterday from Xavier Cooper. His first was the name on my back. The secondly was, you know, this team. Organization, this team, and then the third is this fan base.
Yeah.
And his family, and in the extension of who he is. You represent more than just yourself. And I think the more that winning is getting pounded into their head, the fact that this is a respectable organization that is not going to take what has happened here in the last decade, it's not good enough. And they'll search and they'll dig and they'll make moves that people don't always agree with until they get it figured out.
Certainly is the goal. 216-578-0850 here on CBD. That's the number to call if you want to chime in on what you heard. Ibrahim Campbell, Jordan Poyer, they look like right now the favorites to win those starting jobs. The competition obviously will be ongoing and we won't know much. Who's coming to the podium there, Matt?
Sorry, guys. Emmanuel Ogba is heading to the podium.
Oh, all right. Well, we will talk about that, but I just want to say quickly on these safeties, they've been getting a lot of the reps. They seem very comfortable, very confident, but they will be pushed. Kindred's made some nice flash plays. So has Raheem Moore. We've also seen Pierre Desir get some work in the back part of this defense, which will be very interesting with his size and his length and his natural coverage skills in today's National Football League. Emmanuel Ogba, the Browns' 32nd overall pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the second pick of your Cleveland Browns, is headed to the podium right now.
You know, it's been a lot of work, you know, a lot of repetition, a lot of practice that have me doing the things I could do. You know, transitioning from 4-3 defensive end to an outside linebacker in the 3-4 scheme, you know, it's something new, but with hard work and just keep practicing and repetition on it, I'm getting better at it. So that's translating to the field. So.
Is that something you've been working on even before you got drafted here, the transition? Because you had a feeling you might be doing that?
Yeah, when I found out at the combine that I have to do linebacker stuff, I started, you know, dropping, doing some coverages. So just to get me better when I get here to be able to do the things I could do now. So.
Before rookie minicamp, you talked about learning to drop. How that was maybe your biggest challenge. So where are you with that?
I still have a long way to go, but, you know, I'm learning as every day. I'm getting better every day at it. And also I feel like I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to do, having a good practice. So that's key for me. So.
Do you find it surprising that the stress is on defense in the pros as compared to college?
Excuse me, what was that question? I didn't hear.
Do you find it surprising that there's such a big stress on defense in the pros as opposed to college?
Yeah, it's very surprising because I feel like coming from a Big 12, it's more of offensive-based programs. But, in the pros, it's more of defense, you know. Defense is like the key. I feel like defense is the key to a lot of things, you know. If you could get back to the quarterback, you could disrupt the quarterback, you could disrupt the whole offense, you know. You could stop them on whatever they're doing. So.
I mean, how athletic did you think you were when you were playing DN? Like, when they first asked you to drop back at the combine, did you think – it would be an issue for you?
To be honest, I'm a very athletic dude, you know, so it was new for me because I've never done it before, but I mean, it was, when I started doing it more, it just felt kind of natural, you know, to draw back, so that's why it kind of came kind of easy for me, so.
What was Justin like back in college, and now you see him up here? Mm-hmm. Is he the same guy, or has he changed, or what are your impressions of him then and now?
Justin, we didn't really speak much in college, talk to each other much, but I'll see him around. You know, he's a hard worker. College also here has always been a hard worker to me. You know, when I see him, you know, I only see him just when we have meetings and stuff, like see him around the locker room, stuff like that. But, you know, there's a guy that came up to me and just kind of talked to me, you know, hey, from OK State, we OK State boys, you know, we have to stick together and stuff like that. So
how many years have you got together? Just one or two?
Just 2 years, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Is it surprising to you that he's had so many problems on and off the field since he got drafted?
It's definitely a surprise to me. Justin was a guy that didn't get in trouble in college. And, you know, he's a guy that always put hard work first, team first, and whatever he did. So it was kind of surprising to me.
We ask you a lot about dropping back. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What are you working on, focusing on to become a better pass rusher and to adjust to the tackles you're going to face at this level?
Well, I realized that speed, you got to have more than just speed, you know, to get past offensive linemen in this league. You got to have good hands, too. So I always work on that, too. Master Kim, you know, work on my hand placement, you know, how to get offensive players off of me. So, yeah, that's the key. I work on that and also I find time to do drop too. So, but dropping right now is kind of like my number one priority right now because it's something I've never done before. So,
Master Tim, I mean, have you ever experienced anything like that, incorporating, you know, kind of, you know, martial arts concepts in the pass rush?
No, never. This is my first time actually doing that kind of stuff. So,
how valuable do you think that is? And just,
It's very valuable because if you could get offensive lineman hands off of you, you already beat him because his hands the key, you know. So,
were you aware of the success that he had in Kansas City with some of those guys who had the great pass rush numbers? And have you talked to him about that? And what has he been able to relay to you?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've talked to him. You know, guys like Tom Bali and Justin Houston. You know, I talked to him. Those are the guys he trained. So, you know, sometimes I'll go watch film on them and see how well they use their hands. Like I'll watch Tom, but his hands a lot. He's good, really good at it. So, you know, just something I have to keep working on.
Has there been anything that surprised you? I know you haven't gotten the pads yet, mm-hmm. but just being here for whatever month or so, is there anything surprised you about life in the NFL?
It's a business, you know. You know, the guys are here taking care of their families in grown man sport, you know. You have people with kids around, you know. You have to, you know, when you come out here, it's straight business, you know. It's like a job. It's pretty much a job, you know. You come into work every day, you work, then you get to go home at nighttime. So,
I've been talking to you since you signed. Since you signed your contract? Since you signed your contract,
yeah.
Do you have any big plans for family or anything like that?
The only plan right now is just to take care of my family. You know, like let my dad. My dad's been working a lot. You know, like give him a break a little bit. You know, help out with the bills. You know, that's my number one priority right now. So,
when you finally actually go through the day of actually signing your contract and it becomes real, do you kind of journey with the whole amazing trip that you guys have made? When you think about it, did you think about that much when you signed?
Honestly, I tell everybody this, it really hasn't hit me. I guess it would hit me when, like, the first game. I think that's when it's going to hit me, but it still hasn't hit me. So,
who's really kind of taking you under their wing amongst the veterans here?
Nobody has. It's just really a collective group effort, you know, like PK and Double D and also Jackson Jeffco, you know, he's also new here too. You know, they all take me under their wings. They're all veterans that I try to watch them, see how they practice, you know, be like a pro, play like a pro. You know, that's what I'm trying to do now. So.
Very good.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you.
The 32nd pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, Emmanuel Ogba, says it hasn't really hit him yet that he is here, that he doesn't think being in the NFL is going to really hit him until he plays his first game. I think once he gets in the preseason, starts going through those joint practices, he's going to realize when he starts going against team guys that aren't on your team, that's when I think he's going to realize, okay, here we go.
Yeah, for sure. I think when he senses the first opportunity for him to be really good in this league and has that, like, welcome to the NFL moment, either he gets depleted or he just beats a guy, you know, very easily, and he goes back to how things came naturally to him at Oklahoma State, he's going to go, all right, this is fun. I love doing this.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, as I've always said, he doesn't consider this his job yet, which is amazing. Like, don't ever, technically it's your profession. It's not really your job. But when you start thinking of it as your job, it becomes work. So love what you do and come to work and not really treat it as your job. Don't treat your guy, your teammates should be your teammates and your friends. They should not be your coworkers.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And
you got to have that bond.
And there were guys in San Diego in my day that came from other places that walked into our locker room, which was a group of teammates, and we were a team, and they would just go, man, this dude, this guy, it's like, man, I just work with him. And I'm just like, it was like mind-boggling to me because our culture had been set. And
right.
He of course came from a different culture, a much more business-like professional culture where you can step in and step out of that. Whereas it was always a part of us.
And I think that's important to have that bonding and have everybody have each other's backs, et cetera. All right, that'll do it for hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, we hope to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Also, we hope to hear from Justin Gilbert. We're told that he might be making his way to the podium, obviously one of the most improved players in Browns camp so far this year. We do want to hear from Justin. So that's all coming up in hour number two here of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.